Paul Batura, some of you know him, he used to attend here at First Press. He wrote an opinion piece there in the Gazette newspaper on the last day of the year, December 31st, and he entitled his piece as, quote, "Ways to Prepare for 2026 Unknown Unknowns." So how do you prepare for that? Well, he's offers for us to consider 26 resolutions that we can make, and you can choose one among the 26. What a multiple choice. Yeah. I was attracted to resolution number 14. It's a resolution you make to cope with the year. He says the most valuable and enduring thing you can give someone isn't money, but hope. Okay. The only thing I see difficulty with that is it is known already that 80% of New Year's resolution we make are broken by the middle of February. So where do you go in trying to give hope to the people? You do it for some time and you stop doing it. But what I would like to propose today is to face the unknown new year by trusting in God's living hope. And why do we do that? Well, for three reasons. Number one, there is the paucity of hope. Number two, there is power in hope. And number three, there is the presence of hope in our lives. So let's consider this one by one. Number one, the paucity of hope. The famed American psychologist Carl Menninger, and he made this statement, and I quote, "The Encyclopedia Britannica devotes many columns on love and more on faith. But hope, poor hope, she's not even listed." Bypass the paucity of hope. There's a pastor in a rural church way back in Red Oak, Texas, and he was given the privilege by the Red Oak Funeral Home to do their funeral services. And so he would do them, and after 2 years he noticed that the same three older ladies came to his funeral services. And then curiosity got the best of him, so he asked the three ladies, "Why do you come to these funeral services?" And the three, one of them, their response was simply this, that we go to church and we don't hear pastors preach about hope, and so we are old and we come to the funeral service to hear a message of hope. So there is this paucity of hope, which is also presented in the song found in The Wizard of Oz, sung by Dorothy, "Over the Rainbow," somewhere over the rainbow. And it is a song about hope. Really, it's a song about the absence of hope and looking for hope. And I have the lyrics of this song in my files, and I took it out. It's a land that we hear of in the lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow's dreams that you dare to dream, they come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star to come to this place where troubles like lemon drops fall away. And she sings, "Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, birds fly over the rainbow. Oh, then, why can't I?" And so here is the search for this somewhere over the rainbow. There is hope But somewhere it eludes us. So we find that life offers us all kinds of many things, but hope is the one desire that we often miss. So that's the paucity. We need hope. It's hard to find in this world, but hope is necessary. And let's look at the power of hope as observed by different people. It was Martin Luther who said, quote, "Everything is done in the world by hope. Hope accomplishes." So we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, quote, "He that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope." So we find that for the farmer, the implications of hope are absolutely important. So Emil Brunner, the great 20th century theologian, made the statement, "What oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope for the meaning of life." Hope is the mechanism for man's survival. Artis Whitman, she's a lady, made the statement in her work, "That Vital Spark, Hope." She says, "Neither individuals nor society can survive without hope. Hope is the mechanism that keeps the human race tenaciously alive and dreaming and planning and building. It is hope that generates the survival of human beings." James Stockdale was a naval pilot, and he was among the first to be shot down in the Vietnam War, and he was a prisoner of the Viet Cong for 7 miserable years. He was a POW, and during those 7-year period he was tortured frequently, mercilessly beaten, chained for days at a time with his hands above his head. Imagine that kind of suffering. And then he was held in isolation apart from the other American POWs, and to be alone and left alone and suffer alone. How did he survive these 7 years as a POW under such miserable conditions? James Stockdale says that it was his hope. It was this hope that kept him alive. Hope that one day he will be released, and that day could be the day of his release. Without hope, he knew that he would die in this hopelessness, as many other soldiers have died. So hope strengthens the human immune system. Dr. Julius Segal made this statement in his book, "Winning Life's Toughest Battles." And this is what he said: "Research has shown that hopeful attitudes lead to physiological changes that improves the human system, the body's defense against toxins and diseases." Back in the southern tip of Africa is a place called the Cape of Good Hope. It was not always called that. At one time it was called the Cape of Storm, so named by the Portuguese explorer Bartholomew Dias. That's how he thought the storm was that rough, the Cape of Storm. Now if you encountered the Cape of Storm, you would be hesitant to sail through that. And so we find that the King of Spain changed the name from the Cape of Storm to the Cape of Good Hope. And it's more likely that you will sail through the Cape of Good Hope rather than encounter the Cape of Storm. So we see the power of hope that motivates the lives of people. It was Vaclav Havel who was the president of the Czech Republic in the year 1993 and 2003. He made the statement, and I quote, "Life without hope is empty and a useless life. I cannot imagine that I could strive for something if I did not carry hope in me. I am thankful to God for this gift. It is as big a gift as life itself." Hope, the mechanism that keeps human survival going. And so we look to the Bible. We see in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, hope in the life of Father Abraham. And what does it say? Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact of his own body as good as dead, since he was 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was already dead. So against all hope, he was 100 years old. His body is dead physically, sexually. And then Sarah was barren all the way, and she was now 90. Yes, against all human hope, he believed in hope, and that made him the father of many nations, Jews, Muslims, Arabs, and Christians. We all honor Father Abraham for his faith and for this kind of a tenacity of hope that drove him. So his hope was not mustered by himself. He didn't work it up. You just can't work up hope. This is a hope that is indeed the living hope of God that came into him because of his faith and trust in God who does the impossible. So let's move on. The power of hope is undoubted, but it is a hope that comes from the Lord Almighty. So let's look at the presence of hope. How do we have hope into our lives? Well, this presence of hope in our lives is assured to us in the scriptures in two ways, to keep it simple. Number one, this hope is assured to us in the plans of God for us. Number two, this hope is assured to us in the promises of God for us. Two things, plan of God and the promises of God. It's beautiful how God lays it out in the scriptures. First of all, in the plans of God, what comes to our mind? Yes, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For some of you, this may be your favorite verse in the scriptures. What does it say? Jeremiah 29:11. "For I, Yahweh, know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So God has a beautiful plan for your life. Among those, what I once mentioned here explicitly by Jeremiah, it is plans to give you hope. Yeah, how beautiful. That's God's will for our lives. So we find that in the context, it is the prophet Jeremiah giving this message to the captives who are now taken in captivity to Babylon for the 70 years of captivity. And this happens after the destruction of Jerusalem and the deportation of the Jewish people in three different segments here, dating from 586 to 606. Shortly thereafter, we find that Jeremiah had to issue this kind of a statement. Why did it necessitate this statement? It is because there were false prophets among the Jewish people who were saying that, don't worry, this captivity will not last long. Maybe within 2 years you will return back to Jerusalem. Yeah, that was wishful thinking on their part. These prophets were giving false hope to the people of Israel. And so God sends Jeremiah to remind the people of the situation that they are facing. And we find that Jeremiah's message is, don't listen to these false prophets because they are offering false hope. The captivity will last for 70 long years. That's the affirmation. So what are the Jewish people supposed to do for 24 years? They find that, he says that, live in peace in Babylon. Build homes. Marry and give in marriage. Eat, plant fruit, vineyards, and have children, and develop families, and pray for the prosperity of Babylon. Yes. And God's plan is that Hebel has a plan for him, for them, that he will indeed give them hope and a future. So it's not to harm them, but it's to prosper them and give them hope for the future. So amidst the destruction and the difficulties, amidst the defeat, the destruction of Jerusalem and the deportation, God's plan for them is not to destroy them, but it is to give them hope. And we see this same kind of a scenario repeated in the life of good old Joseph in the book of Genesis. You know, his brothers, out of envy, sold him into slavery, and he served as a slave. And from the slavery, we find that he became the vizier of Egypt, second to Pharaoh himself. From enslavement to ruler. And for what purpose? We find that Joseph at the end, after dealing with his brothers and being reconciled to them, told them, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to save lives. So we have one plan, but God's plan is so much superior and better, to give hope, to save lives. So God's plan for us, for the unknown future, is hope in the future. That is God's will. Praise the Lord. And then we see that this living hope is found in the promises of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three scripture verses that are vital here. Number one, the promise of God the Father, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. This hope is an eternal promise made by God. And what kind of a God he is? He's the ultimate promise-keeping God. God who cannot lie made this promise of hope eternal. And I'm reminded of Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, which says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and he will do it. He has spoken, and he will make it good. God has made a promise. Promises made, promises delivered. The promise of hope is being delivered. That's God's promise. The provision is made by God the Son. This is the second scripture verse. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4, in which Peter says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us into a living hope." That's the title of my message. "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away, reserved in heaven for you." And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful scripture verse. God is here being blessed and praised for what? He has begotten us again. And simply means that he has brought us into a new birth. Have you heard of that word, new birth? It's regeneration. It's being born again. And that analogy is wonderful. When a baby is born, where else can it go? Backwards? No, cannot go back to the mother's womb. It has to move forward. And so you move forward as Christians, born again, into a living hope. Yes, not a dead hope, not a false hope. It is a living hope, way back from eternity when God made this promise to Jesus Christ. It is an inheritance with eternal security. Have you heard of that word? Eternal security in this hope, yes. And three adjectives are used here. This hope that is provided through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is, number one, incorruptible, number two, undefiled, and number three, it never fades away. So other men see a hopeless end, but the Christian believer rejoices in an endless hope. Yes. Secured by Jesus. It's a living hope which is based upon the living Lord Jesus Christ. And it is reserved for you in heaven, where moth cannot eat and rust cannot destroy, nor can man steal it away. It has your name on it, reserved for you, this hope that has been provided by Jesus Christ himself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the old hymn says, "My hope is built on nothing else than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but hope only lean on Jesus' name. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me through the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is my hope and my stay." And thirdly, this hope is secured for us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our third scripture verse here is Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, which reads, and this is a benediction given by the Apostle Paul to the Roman church. "Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we find that this is a God of hope, the God who alone is able to generate living hope in our lives. This hope is complemented by peace and joy. It is the joy of the Lord. It is the peace that passeth all understanding. Yes, and this hope abounds, it grows, it overflows, not by ourselves trying to build it up, by thinking good things, trying to sing good songs, it'll be over the rainbow. But then, my friend, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that flourishes and revives this kind of a hope in our lives. So it behooves us to walk day by day, filled with the Holy Spirit, influenced by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, who alone is able to abound in our heart the faith, the hope that we need. We have a dear friend of ours. There are 8 of us in this group. We meet on a monthly basis just to be together, just to have koinonia and fellowship over a nice meal. It's a potluck. We all bring something and we meet in each other's homes. One of the couple is John and Hope Berggren, a dear couple. John is an ordained Lutheran. He says he introduced himself to me as, "I am a conservative Lutheran minister." That says something. Yes, and they are our age. In fact, John is a little older than I am. And all of a sudden, on December the 17th, the Lord called John home to be with him, just like that. He was okay. The next, he was fine, and then the next moment, he was gone. Where does that leave hope? It's difficult. We went to see her yesterday and brought some flowers to her to just remember the first month anniversary of his death and spend some time with her. And she shared with us how painful it is, how difficult it is, how lonely she feels. But the Lord is carrying her. Yes, I looked at her and I said, "Hope, you're a walking hope. You are a living hope." So hope is carrying hope along. What a joy it is to see that. And so the benediction goes for us too today. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for living hope that you provide for us in your promises, in your plans, in the death of Jesus, his resurrection, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.